good way to finish off your petition is to always say, but God's will be done. Welcome back, everybody. Today is Thursday of the first full week of Lent.
And it's so good to see you. Thank you for giving us a chance to serve you today. We are talking about a prayer of petition. How to ask God to come and meet our needs.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened.
The words of Jesus, and he's telling us to ask, 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 ask. I think he wants to get the point across that we are to ask him in prayer, that we should not just presume that because God sees our needs, he will come and meet our needs. And of course, there's a mystery where God is always at work in our life. But when we become aware of a need in our life, I think Jesus is saying, well, then present that need to him. Now, I think we can fool ourselves into thinking that because we have a desire for something, that's asking, or a longing for something, that's asking. But desiring and longing, or even hoping for, or daydreaming about a need in our life being met is actually not asking.
Right.
We have to open up our mouths, direct our heart, lift our heart and our mind to Jesus, and present in a humble way our request to Jesus.
The first condition for any petition to be effective is that we conform our will to God's will. Each time we make that act of identification of our will with God's, we shall have taken an important step forward in the virtue of humility. I love how the writer speaks about how to ask is a humbling act, but also we need to ask in a way that our will is conformed to God. So it also in this reading, it talks about how a good way to finish off your petition is to always say, but God's will be done. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, the more we do that, the more easier it is to accept whatever God allows, because we realize that God has given us everything, whether it's our circumstance or, you know, whatever we're going through in that moment or the next day or our schedule, whatever it is, God has allowed these things for a greater purpose, even if it seems difficult or trying, or even in some cases it might be tragic. For some reason, God has still allowed this to happen.
I think you make a great point that the more often we ask, thy will be done, the more easy it is for us to accept thy will be done. Mm-hmm. I remember having an unusual conversation with somebody, and they said, I asked them, how do you pray? And they said, well, I see my day as the way I want it to go. And I thought that was unusual. You have a picture of your day and that's how you want it to go. And that's prayer. For me, I thought that was more like visualizing or dreaming, something you put on a dream board. And so I just challenged this person and I said, well, where's the dialogue with God in this? And he's like, well, what's the difference? I said, well, the difference is a dialogue versus a soliloquy. Mm-hmm. One, you're just talking to yourself. This is what I want. The other one is, Lord, thy will be done. And I think that's the important thing to remember in everything that we do is that, yeah, we have these hopes and dreams, but we are not the master of our own destiny. We always ask, Lord, thy will be done in everything that we hope for. Mm-hmm. Even look at Mary. I think she must have had some hopes and dreams of her own. Like, she's engaged to Joseph. I imagine she had a picture of what their future might look like, and it probably didn't involve an unplanned pregnancy. But how does she respond? Now, this doesn't fit into the way I had pictured my day to go. I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to thy word. In other words, thy will be done.
Mm-hmm. I love how Father Francis speaks about the Canaanite woman who comes and approaches Jesus, and his apostles are like, Lord, just like deal with her because she's getting really annoying. And Jesus actually in the beginning, it says that he remains silent. He doesn't even like acknowledge that she has a request. And then with time, eventually she puts her request before Jesus. And then Jesus replies to her, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And so basically he was just referring to the fact that, you know, the time for the Gentiles hasn't come yet. But then she responds with great faith and she says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. You know, sometimes we get frustrated because we're like, Lord, I've been praying about this, but you haven't even answered it yet. Or you feel impatient with God's, you know, response to your petition. But at the same time, there's a reason for that. There's a reason why God has not responded yet. And in this case, This is what the author writes. Perhaps he is urging us on, with this apparent silence, to make sure we have the right disposition for the miracle to take place, so that we ask him with trust, with faith, and without becoming discouraged. So other than having a persistence in our prayer, it also talks about how we can ask others to help, you know, speed the act of this petition on. And I thought that was interesting because I never realized that, because sometimes I'll just pray and I don't want to bother people, you know, with maybe some petitions that I have. So that our petition is heard more promptly, we can ask other people close to God for their prayers.
And regarding asking others to pray for us, it leads us back to a topic we talked about a couple days ago, our guardian angels who are always with us. Since that episode, I have been asking my angels intercession constantly. Father Fernandez reminds us.
The special angel of each person, even of the most insignificant within the church, as he always contemplates the face of God, who is in heaven, and sees the divinity of our Creator, unites his prayer to ours and cooperates as much as he can to obtain what we request.
So I know that my guardian angel is closer to God than I am to God, and so I'm going to ask, and I will continue to ask my guardian angel's intercession, but leads me to another thought. Who else can I ask but our Holy Mother? There was no one has deeper union with Jesus than Mary. No one is loved more than Mary. And so if there's anyone who can effectively take my petition to the throne room of God, it's our Holy Mother.
We have another way, which the Church has always shown us, to make sure our petitions reach the presence of God more promptly. That way is through the mediation of Mary, Mother of God, and our Mother.
And I know our devotion to Our Lady has grown over the last 5 years quite a bit through our first consecration to Mary. And since then, the opportunity to create the Fatima consecration, a 33-day preparation to entrust ourselves to Mary. These journeys that we've taken have also really enriched our spiritual life. And so I would welcome you. Is there something in your life that you've been presenting to God again and again and again? Ask your angel's intercession, but then also give it to Our Lady and say, Our Lady, please bring this to your son, Jesus. Give it to Mary. And she presents it to her son as though it is her own request. So please comment below, share with us what stood out to you and why. A link will be right up there to pray the rosary and ask Mary's intercession. And we will see you tomorrow.